Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to Metron Live Podcast, coming to you from beautiful, historic Midtown Atlanta on this first morning of daylight saving time. It's saving time, not savings. We're saving some daylights. When people say, I'm going to the Walmart, there's no the. Although, interestingly, the one store that does have a the that nobody ever uses is Home Depot. It actually is the Home Depot, but nobody ever says that one. They say, I'm going to the Kroger's, I'm going to the... I said Eckerd's last time, and I don't think they have that. Eckerd's went out of business, didn't they? Going to the Walgreens. I don't know. Anyway, you're at the Metron today is where you're at. We're going to the Metron. And we welcome you. Metron people, give the podcast people a welcoming hand. Let know that I'm not just in this theater by myself. And this month, our series specifically is about wellness and wholeness. The title is The Wisdom of Wholeness, Tuning into Wellness and Healing Your Life. And as you know, healing and health is not just a physical thing. If anything, I think the physical is nearly the, not the least important, but it's the like you should deal with the inside first. Let me say it that way. Healing comes from the inside out, because there's only so much a doctor can do for you if you don't get it right in here. And healing your life isn't just about feeling better. It's about living better. And I want to visit a passage. This is the story of the 10 lepers, and I'm going to use it out of Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. This is in The Voice. When I say The Voice, I'm not talking about the TV show. It's actually a translation of the scripture called The Voice. There's multi-layered revelation in this story that will be applicable whether you consider yourself a Christian or not. Somebody shared one of my meditations this week, and he tagged me in it, and he said, I'm an atheist, and I even love these meditations that he posted. I said, you know, we ain't mad at atheists. I really don't think you're an atheist. I think you don't like church is what it is. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, wherever you are on the belief spectrum, this is a very powerful story. It says lepers shouting across. One thing about The Voice is when there's a conversation, they split it up like they write it like a play. Lepers shouting across the distance say, Jesus, Master, show mercy to us. Jesus, go now and present yourselves to the priest for inspection of your disease. Now, before I go any further, this is really interesting. If you'll notice, there's hardly two times in the scripture that Jesus said the same thing about healing. Like, sometimes he would say, your faith has made you well, or he'd say, take up your bed and walk, or he'd say, which is it easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or take up your... I mean, he was always mixing it up. Jesus is anti-formula, which is the basic problem with Christianity, is that Christianity tries to formulize Jesus. And everything about Jesus' walk on the earth was in defiance of formula. Classic example is when he spits on the dirt and makes mud and puts it in a man's eye and he gets healed. And a doctrine was never created. You'll notice there's never a church of the mud eye. You know, are you a Baptist or a Methodist? No, I'm mud eye. You know, my granddaddy was mud eye. We believe in spitting in the dirt and rubbing it in your eye because Jesus did it. And that's what we do. But that's really the, for lack of a better word, insanity of trying to formulize rhema words. And what's interesting about this is, to give you a little background about leprosy, and I'll finish the passage in just a moment, but leprosy is non-existent in our hemisphere, although there are some outbreaks of it around the world in different places. But leprosy is a very bizarre disease. It didn't just affect your flesh, believe it or not, if you believe it or not. I don't know if you ever saw Ben-Hur. Remember the mom and the sister got put into a leper colony? It's because leprosy was so contagious. You remember when back in the early 80s when there was the first appearance of AIDS, people thought it was airborne, and there was whole issues. I remember even whatever that building is on Ponce across from Mary Max, they were talking about making it into an AIDS clinic, and people just in that neighborhood just went crazy. They didn't want that there because they didn't know about the disease. They thought, you know, if you were just within breathing range of it, you could get it. Now we know much better, and our people are much more educated about really AIDS. You hardly even hear about it now. You hear about HIV, but it's so rare now that cases actually become full-blown AIDS. And now there's even some cases of where people have been cured of it. So eventually this disease will be eradicated. But the thing about leprosy is it actually did have long-distance contagiousness. And oddly enough, whatever it was, it didn't just affect the physical body. It actually would get in your house. There was something similar to mildew that was the disease, which if you've ever had black mold in your house and it affects your body, it's kind of a much lesser disease of, a lesser example of what that kind of disease would be, where it's not just physical, but it's actually environmental. And so that if you were leprous, people wanted you away. You had to go away because you were, first of all, you started physically deteriorating with people's ears and noses would drop off. So it was like living in a zombie movie. And then people were afraid of you. So it was required by law that if you had it and you had to interact with people at all, you were required by law to declare unclean. Like if you saw somebody within distance of you, you'd have to say unclean to say, like, don't get near me. So that if there was ever a case where someone felt like they had been cured of leprosy, they were required to go to a priest and show themselves, and the priest had to validate it. It was like, until the priest had said, yes, you've been given a clean bill of health, you were not allowed to integrate back into society. You had to go live in a leper colony. So what's interesting about this is if you'll notice there, it says they were shouting across the distance, because that's what a leper wouldn't just go up to somebody and say, touch me and heal me, because that's, you know, people would tell on you. They'd cry out, there's a leper, and everybody would scatter and that sort of thing. So they were crying out from a distance, 10 of them, who I'm assuming traveled in a group because, you know, they needed the safety in numbers. So they cry out to Jesus, have mercy on us, and he doesn't say you're well. He doesn't say be healed. He doesn't pray for them. I think it's really interesting. People think there was a whole lot of praying going on. Jesus virtually never prayed for anybody. He would make a declaration. I can't even think of a time where Jesus would say, he'd stop and say, Father, we thank you for the healing. He would just talk to them. And if they felt like it was a demonic manifestation, he'd say, shut up and come out of him or whatever. But he never spoke the same way twice to a situation. And again, whether you believe these miracles are literal or not, this is a universal truth that bleeds through all of this, is there's not one solution to your problem. And that's what's wrong with most people, is they're still trying to use something that's obsolete or, you know, that's what worked then, that does not work now. And every situation is different. I can tell even kind of what I'm going through with my dad. I'll ask Ken about things that happened with his mom, and their situation was so different. I appreciate his help, but some of the things he says, I'm like, that's not even applicable. His reaction to things is totally different than that. So every situation is different. That's the importance of a unique rhema word for your situation. Because what worked for somebody else may not work for you, and what worked for you last year may not work right now. I mean, that's why even in working out, sometimes you mix up a workout, because even your your muscle memory starts responding to a particular routine and it's not working for you anymore and you plateau. And so you have to figure out, with dieting, same way. There might be, I did this diet last year and lost 20 pounds. What's happening now? Well, things are different now. Your body chemistry is different. And, so you have to stay in the now. And what's interesting about this is Jesus says to them, go now and present yourself to the priest for inspection of your disease. What? Jesus, I don't think you understand. We have leprosy. Like, what would be the point of making an appointment with the priest? And so what Jesus is actually doing is prophesying a different reality to them. This actually reminds me of the man at the pool of Bethesda when Jesus says, what do you need? And the man goes right into his story. Well, I've been here all these years, and every time the angel comes, it troubles the water. And Jesus doesn't even respond to his story. I'm telling you, and I can say this because I am a storyteller, but your story can become your worst enemy. It absolutely can. The problem with most people is not the devil. It's their story. It's that damn story that you have told over and over and over again, and you've locked yourself into that reality, and the cells of your body hear you say that thing. You reinforce that cycle, and you don't even realize you're cementing yourself. You're locking yourself in. It's a waste of time for you to pray, because your belief is so strong in your story that God himself could come and tell you otherwise, and you say, no, that doesn't work with my story. Here's is my story. And a story can be good. You know, the great Fanny Crosby wrote that amazing song, This Is My Story. It can be a very powerful thing. But it can also be, if you've got a sad story that you've told over and over again, I would suggest, if you need to get it out, hire a therapist, go knock it out, pay somebody who will say, our hour is up, so that you will shut it down. Or otherwise, you're just going to keep saying it. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about, because I've been stopped mid-story by the Spirit saying to me, seriously, are we really going to tell this one more time? Because every time you tell it, it's another lap around Mount Sinai. And you wonder, why am I doing this? Because every time you nearly get to a change in the story, you tell the story again. And it's what they say in quantum physics. The observer observes the quantum field, and however you see it, it collapses into your reality. So you just keep creating that reality over and over and over and over again. And here you live in this physical body where your cells are changing and being renewed constantly, but you're locked into this story that your cells end up submitting to. Your cells say, okay, this is our story. And if you can't tell a better story, at least shut up the bad one. At least say, well, I don't know, I don't have a good report yet. But even something, when I first started talking about this, I was telling you about my shoulder. Just in the length of time since we've talked about it, it is markedly improved. I can't tell you that I'm completely pain-free, but I am, if the pain was at a 14, it's like at a 5 now. And there's some, late in the evening, it's more like an 8, which what it says to me is, I'm eventually going to be pain-free. Now, it's several things. Several of you giving me a word. I get stretched. He told me to take some, turmeric. I've been taking natural anti-inflammatories. I don't think it's any one thing. I'm attacking it from several different, this is the longest stretch I can remember that I've gone without taking ibuprofen. I've broke, and it's just such a simple thing, because Ken, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and Ken's not going to say anything. me and the president, we could shoot people. But it was just the sweet way he said, do you think you're taking too much ibuprofen? And it was just, there was no anger to it at all. But when he said it, I thought, you know what? I think I am. I'm just in a habit of, oh, this hurts. This is time management. Let me pop these bills so I can get this out of the way and go do my thing. And what actually happens is, I went to see Dr. Sheila this week, and we were talking about how when you stop taking painkillers, your body starts trying to heal itself. But when you're taking the painkillers, you keep tricking your brain into thinking you're well, and so it stops the natural flow that your body tends toward healing, so that it actually becomes counterproductive. And sometimes you have to go do something. I read what you posted about getting a shot. Believe me, I've looked, you know, like, give me that guy's name, because I wouldn't rule out a cortisone shot. I'm like, let's stop the pain. But I'm going to try this right now, and let's go with, I was leaving Dr. Sheila's office. We were talking about stretching, and we were standing there, and she said, well, even when you, like, she was telling me the difference between doing this and how it affects things. We were standing there, and she says, you do like this. I said, why do I feel like you put your left foot in? Are we doing the hokey pokey, doctor? What exactly are we doing here? We had a good laugh. But anyway, what's interesting here is Jesus presents something to them that they had never thought of before. Because they're thinking, heal our disease. Jesus says, go act like your disease is healed. And that's a pretty bold thing to go to the priest. Because you don't waste the priest's time. So anyway, look what happens. We go on, it says, they went, and before they reached the priest, their skin disease was healed. Now, let me stop right there. I don't know how long this was. This was not an instantaneous healing. When people traveled at this time, in this part of the world, you didn't just call an Uber and go somewhere. You were on foot, you were on an animal, you were, you know, the next city, you got to cross rivers and mountains and whatever. I don't know where the priest was. I mean, it might have been a local priest, but who knows? It definitely wasn't something instantaneous. You don't text the priest and say, hey, we're coming over. Have you got a minute to check us out? The point is, there was some progression of healing in this. So it says, they went, and before they reached the priest, their skin disease was healed, leaving no trace of the disease that scarred them and separated them from the community. One of them, the instant he realized he had been healed, turned and ran back to Jesus, shouting praises to God. He prostrated himself face down at Jesus' feet. And the leper says, thank you, thank you. Now this fellow happened to be not a Jew, but a Samaritan. I'm telling you, it's interesting because the Samaritans really end up being the heroes in a lot of these stories. And the Jews just hated the Samaritans. This is just funny to me that the Samaritans, it's the good Samaritan. It's the woman at the well. It's like, you know, they'll be mad at the Samaritans. So Jesus says, didn't all 10 receive the same healing this fellow did? Where are the other 9? Was the only one who came back to give God praise an outsider? To the Samaritan man, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you healthy again. Now, if you look in most translations, it says your faith has made you whole. And Jesus would use this. He used it with the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5, her situation was similar to leprosy. And I don't want to know how people knew that she had this hemorrhaging situation. But the patriarchal writers of Mosaic law had some real misogyny in the way they dealt with things. Like, when people say, let's get back to the Bible way, I'm like, really? You sure? Because in Bible ways, when a woman was on her menstrual cycle, she was put out of the house. You weren't allowed to sleep in the house. I mean, that's cold. I mean, really? You got to leave the house? Yeah, when you're through, when you feel better again, get back here and cook for us. Or I'm going to sell you. And get somebody else. I'm going to give you a writ of divorcement. People say, let's get back to biblical marriage. Have you read the Bible? I don't think you want to. Well, people today are trying to change marriage. The fact that you can't sell your daughter to the rapist for a reduced price means we've already changed marriage for the better. I think what you mean is traditional marriage. You don't want biblical marriage. When a woman says, I want biblical marriage, oh, you mean you want to share your husband with a harem? Because that's what biblical marriage was. It was one guy and lots of girls. But to the woman with the issue of blood, because she was ostracized, remember when he heals her, he calls her daughter in front of everybody, and he says, your faith has made you whole. This is the reason I want to talk about this, because you can get sidetracked on talking about Thanksgiving and that sort of thing, which there's definitely a truth in that. I don't want people to grovel, but I do appreciate a thank you. I don't like when I do something for somebody and they just take it for granted. Like, can I just tell you something that really bugs me? When I'm walking in and out of buildings, I'm always aware of other people walking in and out. So if people bump me, it's very common for me to stand there and hold the door for somebody. I'm happy to do it. I don't like when you just walk through and act like it was my job. When people just walk through, I'm like, oh, you're welcome. I will get sarcastic on you in a minute. Like, really, it's two syllables. Thank you. And you know what I've noticed? People that have stuff, have it together, people who are prosperous, successful, they know to say that. When people, you could tell, don't have it together and don't say thank you, you're like, this is why your life's like it is. This is why. The last two or three homeless guys who have yelled at me for not giving them enough money, I'm like, bud, this isn't helping our situation here for you yelling at me. I told you that one time. I walked by this one guy. I'm so used to it. I'm like, no, I don't have any money. This guy said, if you got any money, I said, I don't have any on me. And then we walked out. I was like, oh, you know what? I do. I've got a $20 bill I forgot I had. So I turned around to go give it to him. And he looked at me and said, all white people are sorry. And I thought, well, I guess we are. You just lost $20. I mean, I had it in my pocket to get in. Like, see, it would, if you just said, oh, it's all good, I probably would have tracked you down and given you the money. Don't. I mean, the rest of the white people may be sorry. I'm not. Don't you lump me in there. I have been called racist a few times in the last couple of weeks by I'm not giving somebody and they go off of me a racist. I'm like, dude, I've probably helped more people of color than you have. So let's don't go with the racist card. If you want to yell at me about something else, but you're not called. And I understand you don't know my situation, so I'm a representative of what you think. And I'm sure you've had some situations, but I'm not that guy. So, and when you live in this community, there's one guy recently who asked me to feed him, and I said I already bought you dinner last week. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yeah, I did. You were standing right there in front of Eats. I took you inside and bought you dinner. He said, oh, my bad. I said, okay. He didn't think I would remember him. I'm like, yes, I have fed you. And I will tell you, they don't like when I do, because when I go in there and buy an extra one, they will say, are you feeding the guys in the parking lot? I'm like, maybe. So anyway, there's a whole thing to it. Anyway, the point about the lepers and the woman with the issue of blood is that the sickness wasn't just about the sickness, it was about the social ramifications of it. And let me just say, if you get really sick, it might not ostracize you from society, but sickness does more than just debilitate your body. I mean, families fall apart because of somebody's sickness, or you get financially devastated. Sickness makes other things happen. It's not just being sick. It's, I'm not the same after this thing happened. Even there's a term in the legal world when a judge will say somebody has to be made whole. It means that financial restitution has to be made. Like this, we're going to settle this case, but the settling of the case will be when you've been made whole. So what Jesus is saying here is healing is fine, but wholeness is better. And when he says your faith has made you well or your faith has made you whole, he's talking about a mindset. You don't want to just get healed. Like, I don't just want my shoulder to stop hurting because I don't want to be in pain. There's things I want to do. The other night, this is way too much information, but I ordered this thing. I saw it online, and it's like a vest. It probably doesn't even work, but it's like a vest thing that you put on. It's like a, it kind of feels like, don't laugh at me. It's like a, it's like whatever material, like skin divers wear, and you put it on, and it's supposed to make you perspire and lose water weight for your midsection. So I thought, it's not that expensive, I'll try it. Well, I got it on, and it was real tight. I'm like, okay, fine. I could not get it off. He was asleep. And I've worn, I mean, there's like, they make Spanx for men. I've worn those before. There's a way you can get your arm out of that. But this one, there was no way. And my shoulder was hurting, and it was hot, and I couldn't get the thing off. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, should I wake him up? But I can't, I mean, I tried every possible way. I was on a doorknob trying to, I could not get the thing off. I finally had to cut it off, throw it away, because I thought there's no, I could not get it off. There's just no possible way. Why am I telling you that? What was the, where was I going with that? There was some connection to what I was saying. Huh? Yes, I think if my shoulder hadn't been hurting so bad, I probably could have figured out, but the way I was, this was 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was hurting so bad, and I was stuck in the thing, I was like, sweet Jesus, help me. I'm so glad when I got that thing off. I sing because I'm happy. I was just like, let it out, baby. Set it free. I had to cut that business off. But the point is, I want to feel better so that I can do things. Man, especially women back in the day, I don't know how they did. Like girdles and waist pinchers and hose and everything. Good Lord. And it was worse back... Sucked it all in and poked it all out where it needed to be. All right. I shouldn't have told y'all funny stories. How am I going to get the classroom back now? This is the my point in this today is he was talking to this man about a change in mindset. Because what he's saying is yeah, all of you got the idea to go to the priest. You captured that part of it, but you didn't understand the propriety of coming back and realizing who told you that in the first place. If you have a problem giving credit where credit is due, you're never going to be whole. It's like another minor issue, but and this doesn't happen much anymore, but I don't like when I post something and somebody says, oh, I'm stealing this. I'm like, you don't have to steal it. Just share it. There's a share button on there. Like Karen posted a really cool thing about the planets. And she wouldn't have said anything if I had posted it and not credited her, but I wouldn't have seen it if she hadn't posted it. So I said, thank you, Karen Strimke, for posting this. It was really cool. It's just a matter of courtesy. To say, oh, I'm really glad you posted that because that was really cool. It was showing, it shows Earth and then it shows all the, and it just gives you an idea of how vast the universe is. It's really, really interesting. But there's just little things that some people know. Like, for instance, for whatever you think about Rosie O'Donnell, she has had a successful career. for all of her ups and downs or whatever, especially back in the 90s, she had a very successful talk show. And you know the way she got it? She went in for way back in the late 80s when they had Star Search. Remember, before there was American Idol, she was a comedian on that. But she went in to audition for it, and they said, no, the woman was kind of rude with her and said, I don't think you have the talent. And she wrote her a thank you note and said, well, at least thank you for seeing me and letting me, at least I got to see. And she wasn't being sarcastic. She was saying, at least I got in the, my foot in the door and I saw the audition process or whatever. And the woman said, in all the years I've auditioned people, no one has ever sent me a thank you note. And she called her back and said, I'm going to give you a spot on the thing. And she won the competition. And that's what set off her career. And whether she's doing stuff now or not, she made enough money. She didn't have to. But it was just interesting that a little something like understanding that is what separates the healed from the whole. And wholeness isn't, like you, like if we talk about the physical part of it, you can go to the doctor and they can do a procedure and you can get better. But if you don't change your lifestyle, you're never going to be whole. Like the doctor can cut it out or give it chemo or radiation or whatever, but there's still some things you have to change about your diet, your eating habits, your... I was thinking about, oddly enough, since we lost an hour of sleep, I was reading an article last night about sleep is so much more important than even stuff I've read about. It's way... Like this guy was saying, for every time you lose an hour or two of sleep, it's a slow suicide, that it actually shortens your lifespan. And I was like... Laying down right now. I'm stopping. Y'all, bye. Daddy needs a nap. But what I'm saying is a doctor, a procedure, a surgery, a shot, a pill might heal you, but it won't make you whole. Wholeness is changing your concept about health, about eating, about your attitude, about being happy. Being grateful. I mean, doctors who don't even consider themselves spiritual, certainly not Christian, are finding that just basic things like gratitude literally connect you to better health. It's not just something you put on a meme. It actually has health benefits to you to say thank you. And what this man, it's not just the courtesy of this one in ten coming back saying thank you. It's that he has a get-it factor. He understood, wow, if you hadn't said this thing to us about going to the priest, I wouldn't have gotten well. These other guys apparently went over their head. They were just like, ha-ha, I'm good now. See ya, suckers. I mean, that's the way they, it doesn't say that in the original Greek, but that's the implication. It's like, ha-ha, I'm back, baby, I'm back. And this one guy said, no, before we need to, I need to go back and thank this guy because this is awesome. I'm healed. And sometimes there's just basic things that somebody does. You're like, oh, okay. That's just showed me what you're made of. That's awesome. And sometimes it's a basic thing like a thank you or whatever. You know, we're about to celebrate our 7th anniversary together. And we married late in life, and he's got kids, and I've got kids. So our choice is we keep our finances separate. He's got his, I got mine. We have a joint account that we go on a trip together, we put it. But that's his, like he helped his son with a truck this week. I do stuff for my kids. But we're all, you know, that's just our choice. It might not work for you, but that's our choice. And so we never agreed to this, but there's this kind of an unwritten thing that, you know, if we go out to dinner, I pay for it one night, he pays for it the next. That's just kind of the rhythm we got into. And of all these years that we've been together, we still, I don't care if we just go somewhere and get a bowl of soup somewhere, we'll always say, oh, thank you for dinner, whatever. It's never, I don't assume it's, that's our, no, that's, you used your card, and it doesn't matter if it was an expensive dinner or not, it's, oh, thank you. I'm so glad that I'm in a relationship with somebody that gets that concept, is that nobody owes anybody anything. Even if you're married to somebody, it's not like, it's all mine now. You know, what do we got? No, it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? I mean, doesn't mind me telling this, but he got some money when his dad passed. It never occurred to me that I was going to be the benefactor. I mean, it's just, I didn't think about it. You know, he wanted to give some to here and helped us with the Christmas thing. And I wanted a new washer and dryer. And I got the ones that I wanted. They're really nice. He showed me these. I said, actually, I really kind of like these. They cost a lot more, but they look cool. I like these ones that look kind of space age, whatever. Okay. I don't think there's one time that I put something in that washing machine that I don't think, I'm so glad we got these ones that I like. I like it. It's like, and that's just a simple thing, but I'm like, I'm glad you bought me the ones I like. Because if you didn't, every time I looked at the ghetto ones, I'd be like, this isn't the one I wanted. I mean, it does the job, but it doesn't look cool and space age. And well, I wouldn't go that far. Because it makes you enjoy doing the laundry. No, no, no. No. You're out of order. But I do like that. And it's just a simple thing of somebody saying, no, you're valuable enough to me, get what you want. Those are simple, basic things. That's what makes a good marriage. I mean, there's other stuff, obviously, sex and romance and commitment. All that. Yeah, 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 yeah. But it's those little courtesies in a day that just says, I value you as an individual. I do not take you for granted. I mean, I would go so far as to say if you're in a traditional relationship where one of you does the laundry, and but if you're the one who gets that blessing, thank that person. When you open that drawer and there's clean underwear in there, it's like, thank you for doing the laundry. I don't want to thank them every time. Well, that's why nobody wants to live with you. Nobody wants to wash your old stank drawers. I'm sorry. I got a little Decatur High School came out of me just now. all right. This Laura Buchanan, PhD, says this. A major component of health and wellness, gratitude helps us to appreciate the blessings we already have and sparks the anticipatory pleasure of blessings to come. That's basically what he's basically saying. Go create a reality for yourself that looks impossible to you right now. That's why, within reason, I'm not saying that you should go and live above your means, but I'm telling you, if you're in a situation where you're really struggling financially and it starts affecting, you start getting a poverty mentality, you need to go do something nice for yourself. You need to break out of that. That sometimes the best thing you can do, especially when saving a little money at this point ain't going to help a lot, why don't we take what we got, go get a big jar of pennies and take it to that machine, get you some cash, and say, let's get dressed up, let's go out, let's go someplace really nice, order whatever we want, let's get wine with dinner, order dessert, whatever you want, because at least for tonight, we're going to feel prosperous. So, well, that's not really smart. Sometimes it's the smartest thing you can do. It's breaking the cycle. And, well, even something, and I don't know why I'm talking so much about this, but with his son Brandon, he had a situation with a truck he just bought that had a defect in it. So one night, it was Thursday night of last week, Ken actually went with him to a deal, a long deal to get this dealer to take responsibility for something defective that they had sold. So he ends up getting a new truck, and there was one that he wanted that did cost a little more. And Brandon works really hard. He's a welder, and he works long hours. It was between two trucks, and I was glad I got quoted in this because Brandon was talking himself out of the one that he wanted, and Ken said, well, it's like Jim says to me, you work really hard, get what you want. because he had bought a phone recently, and he had some bells and whistles on it that he wanted, and some old school thinking came in. He said, maybe I shouldn't get this one. I said, look, do you know how hard you work? And you take a lot of pictures, and your photography is important. Get the one you want. Who cares if it's a little more every month? So what? Get that one. And it's just a simple thing just to, again, not go live beyond your means. But when you're not good to yourself, like what, if it's something that's important to you, if it costs a few extra dollars, get the one that you want. That's why if I'm going to go pay for a hotel that costs a good bit, yeah, I want the one with the view. Don't put me in a room with what I'm paying for this room. I don't want to look at this alley. I want to look at over there. And I'm not going to be a diva. I'm not going to be hard to deal with. And you'll find most places, if you ask for it, they will accommodate you. They don't care. They're like, oh, we didn't know you wanted to look at something nice. Yeah. And again, it's not that you're being difficult. It's like, no, this is what I want, and it's worth it to me. Like when we went to New Orleans, I don't know when I'll be back in New Orleans again. I wanted, it cost a little more for the room that had the balcony overlooking Bourbon Street. That's the one that I wanted. I thought, I don't know that I'll be back here again. I want to sit out and eat beignets for breakfast on this balcony. That's what I visualized. That's what I wanted. I don't want, if I never go there again, I don't want anybody to say, did you stay in New Orleans? Yeah, I wanted to, but I didn't get I really wanted to have breakfast out on that balcony, but it cost $50 more, and we just didn't do it. Oh, really? What are you going to do now? I guess I'm going to die now. It ain't going to help. That $50 ain't going to change anything. While you're in New Orleans, get the one you wanted. If you can afford it, if you work for it, don't ask me for it. But if it's your money and you... Don't text me later today and say, Bishop, you said get the better one, and I didn't know. I'm not talking about that. I mean, if you worked it for you, get the one you want, and then be grateful for it. All right. I know you think I'm just being funny, but I'm teaching you about wholeness today. All of this is about attitude and how you see life. And let me say, with gratitude, then if you right now can't afford what you want, then be grateful for what you do have. Because if you curse what you have right now, you're cutting yourself off from more coming. So if you're wanting to buy the house, take care of the apartment before you buy the house. Because it doesn't work. If you curse the apartment all the time, you're setting something in motion that's going to keep you from enjoying the house when you buy it. Because there's some great perks to renting an apartment. That toilet gets broken, you get to call somebody. It's their responsibility. When you own that toilet, you got to pay for it. So owning is great, but renting is great. Be happy wherever you are. Marriage is great. Single is great. There's perks about both. When single people say, I just wish I had somebody for the holidays. I'm like, baby, I know some married people that would change places with you in the heartbeat. Just enjoy a drama-free Christmas. You know, single people, I've told you for years, better to want something you'll have than have something you don't want. And if you don't get what you want, then don't get it. Don't assume anything about it. Don't assume all single people want to be fixed up. Don't assume all married people are happily married because you don't know what's going on. I'm all over it today. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. What's next? Hippocrates. That's where we get the Hippocratic Oath, sort of like the father of medicine. It's a meme. It says, the natural healing force within each one of us is the greatest force in getting well. That's what I've learned just this week, just not depending on a painkiller. I can tell my body is naturally trying to do the restorative work of healing itself. I mean, I'm telling you, when I first talked to you about it, I couldn't have done that without really being painful. And I feel it, but it's so much better. And what it does, it encourages me to say, no, my youth's being renewed. I will get to a place, He even asked me this week, he said, if you let Patricia do Reiki on you? I'm like, if she'd come visit Metron, I would. You're here today. I'm just busting your chops. That is what I said, though. Yeah. Tell her I'm in a theater in Atlanta. Yeah. I know you're doing this, Miss Lee. But I'm like, sure, I'm open to that. Let's get some energy going. Like, I don't understand. When people get it locked in, they think this is the way it has to happen. What is wrong with you? Why not be open to everything? Why not say, yeah, okay, I'll try that. I haven't tried that, but okay. I hate when somebody's a know-it-all and you say, have you tried so-and-so? No, I read somewhere that's like, well, shut up. I'm just trying to help you. You know, who knows? It might work for you. I don't know. I knew somebody that did. Oh. You know, now you don't have your story. You've got somebody else, which is even worse. Now you're locked into somebody else's story. Why not say, well, they tried, it didn't work for them, but I'm willing to give it a shot. Who knows? I'm very receptive to things. It might work like a charm for me. You don't want to try it. I need my cousin's uncle. He tried and it didn't work for him. He died. And I'm telling you, think I'm joking. There is always somebody somewhere out there who will tell you why the thing doesn't work. I knew somebody, and Judah will know who I'm talking about. It was a friend of mine who we just had the oddest stronghold because everything I ever suggested to him, like he couldn't sleep. I said, have you tried melatonin? And he tried it. Oh, you know, I've never been able to sleep again since then. No matter what I told him, it would backfire on him. And I was like, I think we got a strong. So one day we were out somewhere and we stopped at like a Planet smoothie. And I said, have you ever tried these smoothies? Are really good. We got a strawberry smoothie. And he's like, I don't know, it burned my throat. There was something I said, really? A strawberry smoothie from Planet Smoothie? Of course it burned your throat. No matter what, anything else I would suggest to other people, like, oh my God, I'm so glad you turned me on to that. I would tell him, like, no, it rushed me to the hospital, have my stomach pumped. I'm like, you know what? Note to self, don't ever suggest anything to you because it was just this attitude that he had. No matter what I suggested, it worked for everybody else, backfired on him. Point is, a healing, you know, I'm telling the truth. There is a healing force in all of us. And sometimes, if you'll just get out of your way, your soul, your body, your mind is trying to... You were born to be positive. You were born to be well. It's not natural for you just to be negative and depressed. That's not... You learned that somewhere. You picked that up from somewhere. You remember when you were a kid, and I think it's why Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you won't enter the kingdom. You remember just, I'm not saying everybody's childhood was ideal. I don't think mine was. But there was a thing about childhood where you could just believe that good things would happen, believe in possibilities, but, you know, you just could believe it. And then the more you get educated and exposed to logic and you get disappointed, after a while you start parting with believing that good things can happen. That's why you have to go back and find that, like, where's the inner child in me that's wanting to believe in the best? I didn't come in here with fear. The fears that I have, I must have learned them somewhere. I picked them up from somewhere. So if they could be learned, they could be unlearned. And there's some place in you that still believes in wonder, still believes in magic, still believes in possibilities. I remember my cousin who's 3 years older than me. I just believed anything. We played together a lot. I believed anything she would tell me. Like, if she said it, I was like, oh, I believe it. And I clearly remember, I was 5 maybe, we're walking down a sidewalk. I think about it sometimes when I go pick up the girls from their schools right next to it. And she says, don't ever step on a crack on the sidewalk. I said, why? She said, you'll break your mother's back. And I remember thinking, oh, my God. And I don't believe that's true. But when I walk down a sidewalk, I just subliminally avoid stepping on a crack. It's like it's so ingrained in me. I don't think it's going to do anything negative to my mom. But I'm like, I don't know. I remember that one day on North Avenue in 1965, Janet told me not to do it. But those are impressionable attitudes that you have that can work for you if they're programmed positively. This Bella Blue says this, your body holds deep wisdom. Trust in it. Learn from it. Nourish it. Watch your life transform and be healthy. Let me say this. I'm not telling you not to follow doctor's orders because a doctor can't help you if you're not going to believe him. But if a doctor tells you to do something and you just don't feel good about it, don't do it. Just don't do it. If the doctor explains the procedure and you're like, okay, that I can get my head around that, then fine, do it. And if you like them and believe in them. But if it's something that you just, at least don't do it until you can make peace with it. Because when you go into a procedure, a surgery, a thing, you go in it with a negative, you're already setting up chemicals in your brain that are going to work against you. Harmony is really important. So if you're going to do it, you got to believe in it. And you know, I like doctors who will prescribe something to you and say something like, let's do this until, like, I like those doctors that don't lock you in to this is for the rest of your life. It's like, I like the ones that say, let's try this for a while until you get to the place. I'm like, okay, that'll work. I like that. That's what I went through with my doctor over my, you know, he decreased blood pressure medicine, and I kept saying, just let me off it. He said, I don't think you're there yet. I said, come on. I mean, I don't have to take it. I'm a grown man. But I said, I want you to tell me, and he said, I will tell you that eventually. But he said, you've got to wean yourself off of it. And next time I go back, that's what I expect him to say to me. It's like, okay, you're good. But I like those doctors that will speak to your potential, because I don't want to believe. I don't like to believe that doctors are all in it for the money and it's just big pharma or whatever. That's a very cynical way to deal with the health industry. I mean, I'm sure there is some of that, but I do believe there are doctors that actually do care about you and care about their patients and have a connection. And, you know, and you can tell that. And not just with doctors, but with, don't do anything that you don't feel good about. You know, Oprah's been pretty successful. Pretty much everything she's done has kind of worked. And she said she learned early on when she made a decision, she said, if it doesn't feel good to every part of my body, I don't do it. And I thought, wow, that's really, because I've made some decisions like, yeah, it feels good, but somewhere in here, something in me's going, are you sure? You better listen to that little, are you sure? Because later when it doesn't work, that voice would come back and say, remember it? Remember when you were signing that contract? And I was like, are you sure? Still small voice. All right. Deepak Chopra says this. No matter how much it gets abused, the body can restore balance. The first rule is to stop interfering with nature. The less chemically dependent you can be, the more natural you are about things, the better. Some of you, any of y'all have some of those grandmas that they had to do this because they didn't have the wherewithal to have doctors, but they knew like how roots worked and how, like I remember old school people that would do things like mustard plasters and poultices, and some of it was kind of, you know, a mixture of, I don't want to say voodoo, but, you know, some of it was like, it's a little weird. But some of them were on to things that have been medically validated now. The doctors will say, yeah, that was why they would tell you to do that. And it's an amazing thing that in nature, there is something for every ailment that you can have. There's something there that will, that in your diet or whatever. So just having a balanced diet without taking supplements, just having a balanced diet puts the possibility of your health, it increases your chances. And if there's something you're really craving, you pay it. And I'm not talking about just wanting Oreos. That's the devil. I'm talking about something that your body keeps saying, I feel like I need it. Well, you probably do. So you have to learn to listen to it. Sometimes your body just says, I just need to rest. I just need, you know, I need my digestion to work. I need, well, you know, sometimes it's nothing more than that. It's just the basic flow of life. I need to be in that flow. I'm telling you, I say a lot about it, but you'd be amazed at how many things are just dehydration. Half the stuff that people go to the hospital for it starts with dehydration. It's not, it doesn't give you cancer or so that, but it starts negative things happen. Just before you just start popping pills, go drink some water and just allow the natural flow of your body. Just drinking enough water flushes stuff out of your body that needs to be flushed out. Well, I just don't want to be in the bathroom all day. It's that or be in the emergency room. What's a few extra trips to the bathroom? Nobody cares about that. It's much better than, well, I didn't have time. I would take a lot of pee breaks. Oh, yeah? Well, now we're hooking up an IV to you. So how's that working out? How's that working out? You got time for that? You got time for that bag? I think this is going to be a classic, Charles. I think we're going to put this in a best of. Edward Stanley says this, those who think they have no time for healthy eating will sooner or later have to find time for illness. So eventually, you'll have time. You'll have to make time. You say, well, I just don't have time for that. Well, yeah, that's why, whatever it is, if it's training, if it's whatever, you say, well, I can't afford it. Well, you might have to afford something later. If you don't, it's either pay now or pay later. Because eventually, your body will send you the bill. You know what I mean? You think you can play and play and play. Just even, they've connected so much prostate cancer in men with too much eating red meat. It's not rocket science. It's just there's a lot of beef is shot with a lot of chemicals that goes right to that part of a man's body. Well, I just can't live without eating steak every night. Really? Well, how's that going to work out when they take your prostate out? How's that steak working out now? Oh, I got... Ooh, look at that. People get mad. Don't you mess with that meat. I'm just saying. It's either now or later. Because eventually stuff catches up with you. All right. Now, y'all were doing good. I said that. And meat eaters got mad at me. I didn't tell you to go vegan. I just said relax on the red meat. And Jay Sanford says, I think this is another meme I want to show you. This is really, here's my teaching in a one statement. Health is a state of body. Wellness is a state of being. And that really is true. That's why I think the fact that I can teach you from the scriptures and still take you into meditation and things like that, that's, how awesome is that? That one doesn't have to cancel out the other. I mean... My kids are all over the place. I got Jonah in here singing secular stuff. Judah's in here singing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Which do you like better? It's all good. I'm good with all of it. I don't even know who I'm going to have next month. I've got to call in to John. Actually, I've asked Jared before. He's like, nah, I don't think. That would be a stretch. Not that he's not talented, but it's just, That's a whole other world. And y'all would go for it. That's what I love about y'all. I'm going to tell them, Jared, everybody says, bring the black lips. Yeah, woo-hoo. We'll have a mosh pit. It'll all be good. All right, that's, you get the gist of it. It's the idea is wholeness is holistic. It's how I think about everything. And when you start realizing that, wow, bitterness against somebody may be affecting my joints, it'll make you make it a lot easier to forgive somebody. It's like, you know what? I'm mad at this person, but it's not mad enough to get arthritis over them. I think I'm gonna let it go, and I'm not gonna harbor negative stuff, because I'm telling you, unforgiveness and being mad at somebody all the time, it's gonna affect your health eventually. Well, I just need to vent. I just got to say my piece. Really? Well, why are you so mad all the time? You ever just ask somebody like, are you this way all the time? You just can't live on high alert all the time. I mean, I got mad the other night because I ordered from Grubhub, and they told me that, and I was really psyched for it. I ordered something, and we were going to watch a movie, and they kept saying, your order is 20 minutes late, and it never did. It wasn't even there. Ooh, that, like this, we have delivered. Like, no, you did not. I've already yelled at the concierge. I've yelled at everybody, and I got really upset about it. And I thought, I think I'm angry. You know what hangry is? It's like, well, I'd been like for over an hour. I'd called the restaurant and they said, no, we don't do it. You had to call the helpline and I'm working through people's thick accents. I can't understand what you're saying. I'm glad. Welcome to America. I just can't understand what you're saying. No, I'm glad for the, you know, I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just saying, I don't understand. Can you just slow down and say it a little? What are you saying? And I got really, it's like, what the heck? I'm so angry for. It was fine. I would get the Snickers commercials, you know, where they have. Yeah, Aretha's got a new. Initially, you know, the first one was Betty White. But yeah, the one with Aretha was funny. So think about how you're responding to life. So what's not affecting me, really? If you're mad all the time and you're sick all the time, you might want to connect those dots. If you're feeling victimized all the time and you're in pain all the time, I want to connect those dots. Like maybe there's a connection. It might be completely unrelated, but probably not. And at least, I'm not saying that forgiving and letting go is going to make you totally disease-free, but it's going to make whatever you got a lot easier to deal with. I can guarantee you that. And especially as you get older, you ought to start being more at peace with life. I don't like this when I see older people get angry at life. I'm like, no, you should enjoy, like, old age is when you should be nicer and sweeter, and I've learned my lessons, and I mean, that's the way you should be. There was somebody on the news last night. Was she local? She just celebrated her 111th birthday. Was that a local person? I just saw that last night. And they showed her walking. She could walk around. And if you looked at her, you'd think, oh, she's, I don't know, 80, 85 maybe. She's walking in and she's blowing kisses at everybody. She's happy. And I thought, that's why you're 111 years old. You know what I mean? Look at her being all sweet. She's, I don't know how long the Lord's going to let me live, but I live to see another birthday. Look at her being all grateful. Just like the one man that came back, so that woman figured out how to be whole. If you start saying, why did this happen to me? You're not being whole. Wholeness is, I didn't see this challenge coming, but there's got to be a way through it. So, you know, whining about yesterday is not going to make tomorrow any better. So what do we do to make this better? How do I get well? And if I can't get well, how do I deal with this? What do I need to do? Let me be proactive. Because shutting down on myself and having a negative attitude about what I'm dealing with is only going to make it worse. And griping to other people who can't help you is only going to frustrate you and them, because other people don't want to see you suffer. And they're like, well, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. So I'm figuring mine out. You figure yours out. If I know something to help you, I'll tell you. But otherwise, figure it out. I hate when I see people get in that cycle. They keep reaching out to people for help. I'm like, no, the help's within you. You're just making yourself more and more frustrated. People can sit with you outside of Gethsemane, but you're still going to have to go in there and sweat your own drops of blood. I mean, that's Gethsemane 101. And you work out your thing, and you come out of it victorious. But you have to figure it out. And wholeness isn't a victim mentality, or why did this happen to me, or everything. I want to come back and visit this, but one little thing I wrote yesterday in my meditation was, make peace with your choices. Don't even live in regret. Like if you say, oh, if I just hadn't, why did I do that? Now I have, no, don't. That's a negative way to think. Whatever is your reality is your reality. So deal with that and be proactive. I got to shut up. Let's all stand up. Well, look, eventually, y'all all pretty much got in here. Is it too bad a daylight saving time crowd? I ain't mad at you with all your sleep-deprived selves coming in here. You're going to make up that. You're going to have a good. There you go. Be grateful for the sleep you got. Did you get anything out of this today? Remain standing for this, and then I'll speak a blessing over you.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy.
Easy peasy.
You can give anytime using any smartphone.
Anytime.
Text the amount you'd like to donate.
Just text.
404-620-5044.
That's all you got to do.
You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation.
You'll be notified.
You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well.
Support.
When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
Thank you for your investment in Metron. If you're making a check, Danny will be back there to receive it. And if you have cash, just pay it forward. You might want to bless somebody. You might want to bless Judah. Do that. I speak wellness over you. I speak healing. I speak health. I speak wholeness to every cell of your body. I speak to the life force that is in you, whether you call that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, or your life force, whatever it is, you are a living being, and you are destined for wellness and wholeness. All of those scriptures that you learned about how he takes sickness away from the midst of you, stand on those scriptures if that's what works for you. But most importantly, get your thoughts in line with wholeness. I speak wholeness into your thinking. You think and act and feel like a whole individual. And it's manifesting in wholeness in your body. You will sleep well tonight. You'll be energized. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. And you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Peace. Love you.